Welcome back to Grow It, Build It, Live It, the show where we talk about how to live the good life in a great big way. I'm your host, Joni B. This is Radio RMN at MicroSec Broadcasting Network. And I hope you all go over to TalkStream Live, vote for your favorite radio station. We're talking Ed Sheeran tonight. Right now, at the moment, we're talking about, fake news, fake actors, that sort of thing. All the things that you can see at WellAware1.com. But before the night's over, Ed's going to be with us for the next hour and a half. We are also going to talk about hydrogen fuel cell technology and chemtrails, how to test the chemtrails in your area. This would be so cool if everybody could get out and actually test their chemtrails so that we can get some, and test them at altitude, that's the key. We could get some database going. And we could probably do that through Rumor Mill News, so everybody could do their own testing and send it in so that we could have a database and really find out what's going on with the chemtrails. Anyway, Ed, so we've been talking about, Kurt Haskell and fake actors and Maurice Strong. And Kurt, of course, has a lawsuit against you. And then, of course, the Coney 2012 phenomenon, which does seem to be bombing all over the place. So
yeah.
Maybe they aren't as clever as they think they are. I mean, I watched that, and I was horrified.
Well, you know, when I first, I haven't even looked at the whole Coney thing. After I find that it's fake, I don't waste my time in it anymore because, you know, since I know that that event is fake, the whole reason why it's out there is to get you to spend time and to waste your time on it and continue to look into it and follow up on it. And that's what they tried to do with the Gabriel Giffords thing. So once you figure out that, you know, it was a drill, from that point on, everything that happened after that, that parking lot is just created to keep your attention and to draw you away from doing what you're doing. So honestly, I haven't, once I found out that that was him, I dropped it all and I haven't looked at it, period. So I just don't want to play their game, period.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's some truth to that. I do like to spend time, though, for some time I've analyzed media. Not necessarily, you know, and I try to keep my thinking cap on while I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, because I'm no good at recognizing your faces like you are. Once you show me, I can see it. But until then, you know, you could probably walk up to my door, the same guy in six different costumes, and I wouldn't recognize it. But, but I do recognize the script. Because I'm a writer, maybe, you know. So I recognize the strange script, and I recognize the manipulation in the language and the imagery. So, you know, I thought that one thing I was really thought was wild with the 2012 is, you know, I'm halfway through. I said, "Whoa, they've just done Lonnie Riefenstahl, you know, the great cinematographer for Hitler. You know, one better. You know, she is no longer the greatest propagandist of all time. This beats it." But then it was kind of interesting because there were so many negative comments about it, and it's kind of falling—it's falling hard and fast. And so maybe people are getting a lot more savvy, and maybe it's partly because there's such a variety on the internet that they have places where they can go to alert them, and so they spot fake quicker. You know, they might respond initially, but it wears off really quick.
Absolutely. You know, I think that was something that, you know, the people that are behind all of these events. That's something that they didn't consider. They didn't take into consideration when they were doing this. And here's the reason why, honestly, is because, and no offense to, you know, people that are up in their age, but, you know, these people are, you know, they're coming from the other generation. So they're not as tech savvy as we are today. You know, some of them do understand, they understand the concepts, the things that are going on. They do take part in email, and they take part in, you know, global communications via whatever, but, you know, they're not as in tune, as in touch with, you know, this generation. And they're hoping that their children's children can, you know, take the ball and go with it. But they're losing their game because of the fact that, you know, now the average person can have global communications with the click of a button. So that aspect of the whole equation was not bought into it when they did this, because during this time, back in long ago, you know, let's just say when it began with word of mouth and the lie, the manipulation of the lie, you know, then it went on to newspapers, print ads, and then, of course, photography, video, and, you know, now it's today where it's everything. You have a basically computer in your watch, you know, that can do video, phone, streaming live. So the ability for us to communicate is something that they can't counter. right now, and that's our advantage, and that's why we need to use their tools that were built to monitor us on them, and that's what we're doing. And I see a lot of people are waking up to it, and I can tell by the emails that I'm getting from individuals, and I get about 1,000 a day, and basically most of them are positive, except for the few that are just obviously just plants trying to distract me. But I can see that people are commenting, saying that, you know, I've woken them up, thank you for that, and now they're starting to come back at me with, this person, is that person, verify it for me, you know. So they're sending me now information, which is excellent. So I can see the tides are turning.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'll say one thing, from your work, you have completely ruined my, I used to like to, you know, go to my little alternative news sources and stuff and be a news hound, and you've pretty much ruined that. So I have lots of time. Because there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, I get a lot of those emails. Oh, thank you very much for ruining this for me. But, you know, it's...
Yeah, the topic was having Max Kaiser on after you last time.
Yeah.
But,
that was pretty interesting.
That was interesting. That was not planned, folks. I had Max pre-taped and planned him to put in that slot before Ed outed him. So that was interesting. But I can tell you that Max Kaiser will do an interview with you on his cell phone, and it is not in Paris.
that was news to me. I didn't realize that when you told me that they couldn't do cell phone calls from that, and I didn't realize it, so... Yeah,
yeah,
obviously there's a problem when it comes to their stories.
Yep. So anyone who wants to call in, by the way, our numbers are 888-747-1968 or 208-935-0094. I almost always forget to get those numbers. But there, you've got them now, folks. And so, you know, who are you going to go... I don't know if you can tell us this. Who are you looking at next that you may not have confirmed, or is that just... frivolous information that you, I guess you can get
well,
because if you step, you could really step into it there, you know.
Well, you know, when I was on the Joyce Riley show, and towards the end, you know, she started trying to control the way I was doing my my investigation, and I explained to her that, you know, I don't control what's going on here. When I do the investigation, it goes where it goes, and, you know, I either see what it's saying or I don't, and, you know, I can't control it, and I'm not going to lie about it. So even though the information that sometimes I dig up, it hurts, you know, especially that with Ron Paul and all that stuff, but, you know, I can't be the one, I'm not going to be a gatekeeper when it comes to the information, so we just have to be able to deal with it. And I explained this to her. So, you know, the only gatekeeper that I can be is, you know, trying to hold this information back, to put it, you know, to let people know when it comes out on the video. And, of course, all my videos are free, so, you know, there's not like I'm trying to sell anything. But, you know, I try to at least put it together all on that one video presentation so you can have a whole cohesive idea and understanding of what's going on. Because it starts to get a little bit, you know, outrageous, and you totally don't understand what's going on if you only catch bits and pieces of it and you don't connect it all together. But, mm-hmm. You know, the other people that we have just in the past week have exposed are Breitbart, Andrew Breitbart, faking his death. And, you know, he's basically, the actor that plays him is the South Carolina Panthers head coach, John Fox. And, again,
right.
We can verify this with the ear biometrics. And the other fortunate thing that we have is the fact that many of these individuals that are playing dual roles are in the public media and public spectrum, so we have very good photographs of them, high-resolution photographs, and we can, you know, be definite when it comes to the matching it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That, and then the other one that was a really good, pretty surprising one was the Acorn. Remember the pimp and one of his girls went into the Acorn office, and the Acorn representative basically told him how they could hide money from the government and whatnot. Well, we basically, when I looked at that, I saw that the pimp was, and that this story, of course, was broke by Breitbart, was Andrew Breitbart. And, of course, this came out after he died. This is something that he said he was working on. He was going to expose Acorn. Well, the actor that plays the pimp was actually the actor that plays the Malcolm in the Middle actor, is Eric Persolden. And he plays the Dewey, the little kid. He's all grown up now, so you really wouldn't recognize him, except for when you look at his ears, they're a telltale sign. And, of course, the person that plays the his prostitute is Lindsay Lohan's sister. So, again, you know, these faces, if you see them separately, you wouldn't realize it, but then all of a sudden you put them alongside of, you know, her sister, and you go, oh, that's, of course, Lindsay Lohan's sister, Allie. So they're just they're hoping and they're relying on the fact that we don't recognize these people, and basically we haven't. But once you do, you see the whole pattern, and it all falls apart for them.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I always assume that the pimp and his prostitute were actors and actresses, but it's very interesting that it's the Lohan sister, because, you know, the Lindsay Lohan being drugged in court and all this, and then let out, and then put in, and then let out, and all of this, you know, that's just an absurd story. You know, it's been going on for years, and it's just absurd, and you know, whenever it would, you know, hit the pages of Drudge or whatever, it would be, my thought would be, you know, what's the point of this silly soap opera? You know, it's not even that her publicist is releasing it. For some reason, you know, we're supposed to have this opinion of these girls. You know, there's no way that she could be a professional actress and be half as degenerate as she's portrayed.
Correct. They're training them when they're young. You know, they're starting them, you know, just to try and to see that they can play the roles. And, you know, the ones that do succeed and are successful, they grow up to, you know, be the Jennifer Greenberg Sexton, who is Tina Fey. You know, they get the good roles. But, you know, the whole concept behind the actor.
Who is Sarah Palin?
Sarah Palin, exactly, yes. And then people go, oh, no way. Well, then, of course, you see everybody that surrounds her, that works with her, you know, then you see them in supporting roles and the other, you know, events that she's taken part in. So, you know, it's not this big coincidence that people are trying to push it off as. There's no way.
Right. Well, and I think that we've even at Rumor Mill News done, on the website, done a spot Sarah Palin story. Or not really a story so much as a call of, because I've been wondering, so Sarah Palin, you know, where does she go when she's not being Sarah Palin?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, those
normal people, you see them at the local restaurants. You know, I used to live in Santa Barbara, so, you know, I would see a lot of movie stars and all, and you'd see them doing normal daily things. You know, they'd be at the club, their kids would be at the pool. And Sarah Palin doesn't seem to exist when she's not Sarah Palin. And when
correct.
We learn stories saying, hey, all of our readers, you know, if you know where she is or where her kids are, what's going on, you know, we don't want to stalk her. We just want to know, where's her real life?
Mm-hmm.
And there is no real life.
Correct.
Like Sheriff Matt.
And that's why you can't track her, because you don't know really who you're looking for. So, but now you do, and now it's a little bit easier. And that's what I would hope, that, you know, the American public that would be outraged by these events. And I hope with the release of this next video, they're really going to be really pretty pissed off about the fact of what we're being tricked into. And I hope that they do organize and they do get together and they do follow these people around and, you know, don't break the law, but follow them around and make sure that they know that they're being watched. And just basically, if they want to walk out in public, there should be somebody there to watch them. And you'll guarantee that you'll see them flee, because there's no way that they can deal with that. So basically, they're putting us in a situation where they're causing these distress and all this aggravation. And then, of course, they get to get out of it by them changing it back into whatever personality that they want. And nobody knows who they are. So they enjoy the benefit of the anonymity. So, you know, that's why we need to really step up our game and hold them accountable. Because honestly, as much as I've looked at this and I've talked to people that are involved in the law, and I've asked them, you know, are these people breaking the law? Are they breaking any statutes? And they say, no, they're really not. You know, because it's really not against the law to lie. And people go, well, that's wrong. I just can't. It's got to be fraud or something. Honestly, it's really not. It's basically up to the viewer's discretion to believe what they're seeing or not. And that sucks. It really does from my point of view, because I really wanted to, you know, hold these people, you know, accountable and put them up on the stand. But, you know, as I look at it now, it looks like that they're going to get away with it because it's not against the law. So we just have to make it so that they can't do this anymore and make it harder for them to do.
But there is one place where it's against the law, and that's when you run for political office, because most states have residency requirements and things like that, and that means you have to be who you are. You know,
well, you know, easy it is to be a resident.
You're allowed to go around and say, I could say that my name is Carol Simmons, and that's my radio host name, and that's my writing name, and there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that as long as there isn't a Carol Simmons that I'm dealing for business. There might be something slightly wrong with it. There's nothing, you know, illegal, and there could be reasons for that. Maybe I'm releasing super controversial information, you know, protection or all. But when you run for public office, people need to be able to check your record. And most states have, as I say, you know, every state I've ever lived in has a lot of residency and legal requirements to run for public office. So if you aren't who you say you are in your credentials, then your credentials can't be real.
Well, but here's the problem with that. And this is, I've looked into that as a possible, you know, loophole that they've been using, or something that we catch them on. And, you know, if we take the, let's just take Jesse Ventura, for example. It's not against the law for you to run for office and use a pseudonym. You can use a fake name. You can run for president and use a fake name. And as long as you are not creating that fake identity for a malicious reason, with intent to defraud, then you're allowed to do it. And you don't even have to register that name. What was that?
Okay.
Yeah, so you have Jesse Ventura, who Jesse Ventura is not his real name, but obviously he's running as Jesse Ventura, and he's signing documents for that state as Jesse Ventura. So that's why somebody called him on it and said, well, that's not your real name, so how can you do that? That's not even his registered name. It's a fictitious person that he's made. But, you know, he's not making that as a way to defraud somebody or involved in a criminal act. So you're allowed to do it. And there's nothing that says, nothing that at least I could find or that I've been speaking to other lawyers about it, nothing that I've been able to find out that says that you have to disclose your real name when you run for office.
But this creates a giant problem in a democracy. If I'm allowed to create fictitious people, for instance, and I would actually, something, this may not be of interest to the national listeners, but as an Arizona resident, I do want to know. You know, you said that there's six other public officials besides Gabby Gifford in Arizona who are fake. Arizona is sort of a center for this sort of behavior. I think that Florida is the other center. And so Arizona is a center. Well, we only have like 12 congressional districts. If half of our congresspeople are from a single family and that doesn't even live here, and they're fake and they're actors, you know, how are they going to, you know, it's bad enough that they get paid bribes and called campaign contributions, and that they tend to only listen to their friends and not the common people, but if they're an actor who doesn't live in the state, there's no, absolutely no hope. The whole idea of, that you would be from our constitutional idea, that you would be from the neighborhood and go and represent your friends, families, relatives, neighbors, community, and take that to Washington and be a voice for them is pretty null and void if you're an actor or actress from another state.
It brings into question the validity of that office. And, you know, I do believe that there are some legitimate, you know, senators and representatives out there that are legit, but the more and more that I've been looking into this, the more and more I'm finding that they are actors. And when you find that out and you see who their sponsors are, it's all corporate owned. So, you know, we run into that situation where, you know, is it cheaper to buy your competition off when it comes to buying their company, or is it cheaper to buy the CEO? So, you know, that's basically what's happening. They're buying the CEO and you know, running the show. So, you know, it also brings into question.
I can say for a fact that our congressman from CD1 in Arizona, Yavapai County, is not a trained professional actor. He really is a dork. Congressman Gozer, as bad as he is, I saw his very first political speech. It was an unbelievable disaster. It was not for prime time.
Maybe that's real. They fixed him up. You know, that's what I said. Maybe that's the reality of it. Maybe that is a real person that, you know, because he's not so polished, because he's not so, you know, reading off the teleprompter and doesn't have all the, you know, the script writers around him, maybe that is a person that is legitimate, you know? So, you know, because we're so used to now seeing these people on TV and just they are what we call the typical politician when you're going to find out, when I release this information, that the typical politician is a typical actor playing the part of a politician and basically that's what we perceive as what it should be. So maybe those
they got a hold of him later and they did train him. Now if you met him now you might be, there's no point what I'm saying, there's no point in looking at who he might really be. He really two years ago he was a total dork. So yeah. he was not prepped for prime time. But, yeah, so who are the people in Arizona who are our fake Congress people?
Who are the fake ones?
Yeah, we've got Gabby.
Oh, off the top of my head, good question. Man,
Brewer.
I know they were the two the districts that were right around Giffords, and the other one was the one in L.A. But it was four of them that were directly adjacent to this Giffords district. So that's about the best I could do off the top of my head. I forget their names.
Okay. And that's, you know, and it's also interesting that Arizona and Florida, and I guess Florida as being one of the places that was a center, not, well, partly because I know that the Greenberg family, that they have photos over there because I've been to your website, wellaware1.com, but also because there's only two states in the country that have a specific film tax. So that they don't have legitimate film industry, hardly at all. And those are Arizona and Florida.
Really, so I didn't know that about Florida.
Most states invite the film industry, and Arizona and Florida seem to want to keep a lot of the film industry out for some reason, and, you know, possibly it's so that they have control of it.
Yeah, we have a lot of East Coast involvement. You have a lot of people from New York that go to Florida, of course, as vacation. Me growing up in Philadelphia, that's where everybody went, of course. Everybody had their grandparents there in Florida. So everybody from the East Coast goes to Florida, and I guess everybody from out in California goes to Arizona when it comes to film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're looking, the other hub is going to be Chicago. That's where a lot of these individuals are coming from. So they're having ties to those areas, and we're seeing most of the stuff when it comes to this president and a lot of the people around him come from the Chicago area. When it comes to a lot of the protests and the Occupy Wall Street, a lot of that is stemming from Chicago people. And from the 1968 era when we had a lot of the political unrest with a lot of the riots, all those individuals like Henry Winkler and Mike Glazer, you know, those people were the ones that played the roles back in those days, and now we're seeing them reemerge again and play this Occupy Wall Street. And the one being, you know, I just mentioned Winkler, his son was the one that was involved in this last school shooting in Ohio. He's the one that played the shooter, as Max Winkler.
Well, and you've also got, you know, Abbie Hoffman.
Abbie Hoffman, Paul Michael Glazer,
And he was married to Jane, Tom Hayden, of course.
He was married to, actually, the real, the person behind that, he was married to Elizabeth Glazer, but she was actually being played by B. Winkler, Henry Winkler's sister. And we see her again playing many roles in today's, and she was actually one of the... She was actually the neighbor to the Christina Taylor Greene, and the one that took the little girl to the Giffords event, so they say. But that that was, again, B. Winkler.
And there's the music. So on the other side, we're going to talk about a little bit on this and something else. This is Grow It, Build It, Live It. You're listening to Radio RMN on the Micro Effect Broadcasting Network, and the guest is Ed Chirini of WellAware1.com. Go to WellAware1.com and have your news ruined.
We hope you enjoyed this free excerpt from today's program. Register to become a sponsoring member so you can hear the complete interview for any of the radio shows in our library. Just click the sidebar link and select your membership level. It's that easy.